What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Three in the Key podcast. Last episode of the decade of 2019 of this amazing decade we've had so far. It's myself, Rytry. That's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. Sitting across or to the side of the one and only MD. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Went to the Laker game this past week. Got to go to Universal Studios. Excited for this upcoming decade. What kind of 2020 and the rest of the 20s has in store for us. I'm looking forward to it.
I was telling you earlier in the kitchen while you were making meatballs, I was like, dude, how weird is it that we are entering the 20s? Like in history books, when we're in history class, we hear about the 20s and I'm like, wow, those people were really old, the 20s. And we're going to enter a decade where 30 years from now, kids are going to be reading about the 20s. I'm like, yep, we lived in the 20s.
I know. That is crazy to me. We're not only going to be living in the 20s, but for both you and I, most of the 20s will be in our 30s. Our age will be 30-something, and we are getting old.
We are old and crusty.
Old and crusty. Think we can play basketball till midnight still. Go against those young 19-year-olds that can play like 7 games back-to-back and not get tired.
I wish I was still 19 in some ways, in other ways, not so much. But when it comes to ball, absolutely. Because now when we play, my knees hurt, my back hurts. Like I told you, I just got a posture corrector. I mean, that's if joining that's not a telltale club. Sign yeah. of getting older, then I don't know what is. Bringing in the new decade with great posture. Well, the Lakers, since this is a Lakers podcast, let's talk about them. They, since our last episode, went 2-1, and they lost, unfortunately, the big Christmas Day showdown with the Clippers, 111-106. We'll dive into that in much more detail in a moment because there's a lot to unpack there. But they did follow up with two victories. Beating the Blazers by 8 and then beating the Mavericks, which is a game you were at, good sir. They yes. took care of business handily by 13, 108-95. Before we transition to the Christmas game, let us know, how was Staples Center against Dallas? Because this is your second game you've gone to now, right?
Right, and Kobe was at both games. I have been blessed to see the Kobe Bean, the Bean Bryant. Yeah. Man in person. It was great. The vibe that he gave off was awesome. It was a great game, albeit I was a little spoiled because, well, similar to the Atlanta Hawks game, I believe throughout the game, the Lakers had a double-digit lead, I think 12 to 10 most of the game, so it wasn't as close. AD had a great game. It was very spread out. I think one of the biggest takeaways that I took away
yes.
was Avery Bradley's length. And I was telling you this in the kitchen while I was making meatballs earlier, that his arm, like his wingspan is ridiculous when he spreads his arms. No wonder he's such a great defender. He can really poke his hands and no matter kind of what the height, it reminds me of Draymond Green. You know how Draymond Green, even though he's only like 6'6", 6'7", he's one of the best defenders in the league and can guard 1 through 5 because that arm, that wingspan gives him kind of room. He doesn't need to shift his body around. And he has, I mean, don't get me wrong, they have great footwork, but he doesn't need to keep up steps-wise or can keep up with the bigs where like he takes 2 steps, but it's one step for a 7-foot guy because his arms can keep up with them. He can put his arms up, his arms to the side, poke balls away. He's really able to move things around really well, move his feet really well, poke balls. He was giving Luka such a hard time, and it definitely helped our team. I mean, having Avery back in the starting lineup, I know he just got back. I think the first time he was back, we were talking about this, was the Clipper game. We were like, oh, is he going to start in the Clipper game? And he did, even though we lost. But we saw why he starts. And then we also saw how KCP has been playing well and it's been giving a lift to that second unit. Because that second unit, other than Kuz, who's been playing well but then had dropped a goose egg yesterday.
He did and gave away his shoes afterwards.
Yeah. he's not been doing well. When he doesn't do well, we still have KCP. And just the combination of both of those coming off the bench really gives a lift, really spreads the ball, doesn't I mean, rely on AD and LeBron James to score all the points. I think LeBron had 13 points against that in that win in the Mavs, and AD only had like 23, 24, and he was the gate, and he was the high for the Lakers.
Yeah,
talk about a team win. Yeah, we needed to see that. I think for both you and I, it's been something we've been hounding on the Lakers for. Like, we need to see not LeBron and AD peak. We need to see this team peak. And we need to see them kind of continue to grow. So seeing this offensive kind of juggernaut spread out along through the others in Kuzma, in Dwight, and Dwight had like a really good game too, and KCP, it warms my heart.
Yeah, I'm jealous you were at the game, man. Just for one, just being at a Laker game, I need to make sure I get there at some point this season for sure.
We'll get you out there.
And then for two, yeah, every time you go to a game, man, freaking Kobe is in the stands. Love that guy. But yeah, to your point, Bradley played really well. Good defense. But KCP, just, I mean, if we just take a step back for a moment and just reflect on the beginning of the season, how poorly he was playing and how much crap we were giving him and everyone was giving him, to where he's at right now. He was the second leading scorer in the game against Dallas with 19. He shot 5 of 9 from the field, and was 4 of 5 from three. He's a crucial piece of the team that we were expecting him to be last year. And right now he's proving himself this year, which I'm thankful for. And I'm sure we're both thankful for in the key season that this is. But it's just cool to see him performing well. Like, I'm all right with being proven wrong when KCP steps up to the plate, because, you know, I talked a lot of crap about him and I feel like he shouldn't have been starting and shouldn't have been getting the minutes that he was. And he didn't start this game, but, you know, he played 25 minutes and he produced 19 points. So that's huge, especially because the Lakers need to have more of a balanced attack, and it can't just be LeBron and AD versus five other players every single night, you know? So he brought it. Kuzma is another story, like you mentioned, 0 points. Like, we'll talk about him a little bit later.
Michael Beasley.
Yeah, 0 of 7, dude. I mean, didn't make a single shot. Didn't even get to the free throw
line. It was tough because there are a few layups he had there too, where we're like, oh, he's gonna make it. He's gonna make it. Oh, they rimmed out. It's just one of those days, you know. Every player has those games where it's just like a poop game. Even LeBron.
Yeah.
13 points, but at least he had 13 assists.
It happened.
And so to me, that's my biggest gripe on Kuzma's game, is there's nothing other that he does other than make points, score shots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an important part of the game, probably the most important. But when there's no point in putting him and giving him 20 minutes if he's not hitting, you know?
Literally no point. 0 points. Yeah, his stat line was 0 points, 5 rebounds, 0 assists. So there wasn't a basket that the Lakers scored that Kuzma had a part in. You know, he didn't assist, he didn't score.
If anything, he helped the other team. I think he had like 3 fouls, 4 fouls. He put some other guys at the line.
Yeah, 3 fouls.
Yeah.
So, but that's what you get with Kuzma. He's like up one night, like the first quarter against the Clippers. Wow. Went absolutely
insane. He is the reason why we were in the game. He was the reason why we're still in the game.
Yeah, him and Kawhi were going back and forth. We'll get on.
That back and forth threes. Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
All right. Well, go ahead. Were you gonna say something?
I want to keep going back. Let's go to the Lakers Blazers.
Yeah,
it was a great game. Great back to back. It was nice to see LeBron go against. It was a closer game than I thought it should be. It was nice. Again, Kuzma had a great game, so I was hoping like he'd continue the role coming into Sunday, but
that's okay.
Kuzma, 24 points. Caldwell Pope, 15. Rondo, 15. Howard, 11. Caruso, 9. That's what we need to see from the second unit and from those role players.
6 players in double figures in this game.
It's
LeBron, AD, KCP, Kuz, Caruso. Or sorry, not Caruso. Caruso had 9. Rondo and Dwight. Like, that's what we need on a nightly basis.
Agreed.
I would much rather have this type of balanced scoring rather than LeBron having to put up 40 or AD having to get close to 50 on a nightly basis. Like, this is much more sustainable for our roster and actually benefits our superstars, LeBron and AD, in the long term, because they're able to have their load lightened. We don't have to lean on them as heavily to get us a victory. And we still win comfortably against Portland by 8. And LeBron and AD barely had to score 20.
So. Yeah. I mean, LeBron, 16 assists, and he really is. Yeah, that's wow. where he's shining lately, his mm-hmm. passing game. I think that's why he'll be able to, like, his longevity in the league and why he'll still be relevant for the next couple years. But, I mean, we can talk about this during the Christmas game, which I think we'll move to momentarily. Mm-hmm. There are two big questions I have for you when we talk about this Lakers-Clippers game.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right, so the Lakers-Clippers game, jumping straight into it. LeBron, I don't think he's going to last his four-year contract.
Whoa, dude. The hot take.
It's right a out big the hot take. So I don't think...
You think he's going to
I
leave?
Think he... I know. I think he... If he... By I mean last, excuse me, let me qualify that. When I say last, meaning I don't think he is going to be playing all-star good LeBron for the next 2 years. I think he's going to deteriorate mm-hmm. quickly and exponentially these next years.
So he's going to be, he will be out of his prime by the end of his Lakers contract.
Not even out of his prime. I think he's already out of his prime. I think he will be, he should retire after this Lakers contract.
Wow.
Yes.
You know he's not going to.
He's probably going to wait around for his son, but exactly. he should. Like, watching him play and getting so frustrated, especially the Mavericks game and that Clippers game mm-hmm. and the Blazers game, my boy's getting lost on D.
Yeah.
He's not switching. Like, when everyone switches and does their switch properly, he forgets his guy. He just picks up a guy, so then Caruso has to move over. Rondo has to move over. It's terrible on defense.
Yeah.
He's still somewhat athletic. His passing game is where he's money. Still a terrible three-point shooter.
And can't this, close this out. Game really highlighted that.
Yes, too. Yes, the Clippers game
two
did.
Two of 12.
Why are you taking 12 three-pointers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's like, wow, I know you're going to get clogged in the lane, but are you not going to try and take the foul? Albeit there was some kind of, I felt like the refs were a little biased, not giving many fouls to the Lakers. But I was like, I don't know, like seeing LeBron from this LeBron to where he was 2 years ago with the Cavaliers and brought them to the finals. Mm-hmm. Can you not tell already? Like, do you not see that huge difference? Like, yeah. It's a very noticeable difference at his style of play and the level he was playing at.
Yeah, definitely. He's fallen in love with his jump shot a mm-hmm. lot more this season than he has in a long time.
I asked you the question, fallen in love or has to take a jump shot now because he's not quick enough, strong yeah. enough, or powerful enough to finish at the rim anymore.
I think that plays into it, that his athleticism is decreasing. But my take on it, my interpretation on his play recently is he is taking more of a backseat and trying to feel out the game and let it come to him, rather than being the one attacking and being aggressive from the get-go. And the game against the Clippers highlighted that, because he, especially in that last play when Patrick Beverley got switched onto him, like, I don't care if we're down by three and there's not too much time left, go to the basket. Like, no, you're not sizing up Patrick Beverley, who's several inches shorter than you, who is like a fly, literally, yeah. playing against you.
25 pounds less.
Yes. Yeah. You go to the basket, you're going to get by him for sure. And maybe you draw contact and can get an and one for a three-point play. But even if you don't, like, just try and finish at the basket, make it a one-point play, and then trust our defense, which has gotten us into a lot of successful games recently. But he was so passive, and he just dribbled, tried to take that step back three-pointer, which he's done so often this season, which works sometimes, but it bothers me that he's not as aggressive and not as tenacious on the offensive end like he should be. Maybe that's him trying to conserve energy for the postseason, and maybe that's him fighting through some injuries, like he talked about re-aggravating his groin injury. I don't know.
Maybe it's just him being 35 and old now.
Yeah, that's also very possible. But I'm a believer that LeBron at 35 and LeBron regressing in his talents is still better than 95% of the players in this league and should be able to carry this team to victories. That game against the Clippers, that L is on LeBron and no one else.
Agreed.
Just flat out. It's on no one else except LeBron. He didn't rise up to the occasion. It was a big moment. We wanted that victory as a team. I know the Lakers did for sure. And he didn't deliver. Kawhi outperformed LeBron James in that game, hands down.
So is Kawhi the best player in the NBA now?
On the spot.
That man was efficient. 11 for 18, 35 points. Mm-hmm. No matter who was guarding on him, he mm-hmm. scored. And he guess what he scored most of his points on? Something that's supposed to be dead and inefficient. Mid-range yeah. shots.
Yeah.
My goodness. He, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Lakers are on a roll. Lakers, you know, feeling it. Give it to Kawhi. Kawhi switch on whoever. Switch on AC. Switch on a smaller player. Even a bigger player. Back him down. Back him down. Fade away money. Mm-hmm. Anything within like 20 feet money. Good.
Yeah. Kawhi had 35 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists on 11 of 19 shooting.
Boardman gets paid.
Boardman gets paid. Shot 5 of 7 from 3. Yeah, he was so good in that game.
He was so good.
And to go back to your question of is Kawhi the best player in the league right now over LeBron, I would say he's better than, like right now, he's better than LeBron James.
Agreed.
Yes, and I don't even think it's a question, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's totally different if you're asking about in their primes, of course, but right now, Kawhi is the better and the more valuable player to have on your team. I think what makes me hesitate is he's so quiet and reserved that he doesn't
right.
It's not like boisterous. You're like, wow, that guy is the best player no matter what, you know?
I think what makes me hesitant is his load management. But this is why he plays so well when he needs to play is because he gets load managed. And I know we've had discussion. You've posted it on social media. Do we load manage LeBron then the next year? Or maybe close to the playoffs so he can play well in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I know he doesn't want it, but at the end of the day, who's the coach? Frank Vogel is. Mm-hmm. Not only will it give it more time for our reserves to kind of play more, get used to each other, play without LeBron, score more points, build confidence, and mesh with AD for when LeBron leaves and retires? Or do we let him kind of just keep grinding out and see him and his athleticism fade faster, his injuries nag him more, him not play as well? I mean, I'm to the point where it's like, I think you start load managing him after the All-Star, if not right before the All-Star, as he's getting injured more. It's not worth it. He's the most expensive player that we have right now. And so we need to manage him just like you would manage any expensive, your expensive car, your expensive piece of jewelry, you know, your expensive clothing.
Right.
You take care of it. You make sure you clean it properly, use the right materials. You don't take it out and let it grind every single game, games that you don't need it to. Like, let's look at these games, the next three games we have. We have Suns, Pistons, Pelicans, Suns, Pelicans, Pistons. I say, why play LeBron against the Pistons?
Yeah.
Like, there's no point.
Yeah.
Suns, maybe, because they're in our division, but I don't think you do. Pelicans, you don't need to either. They're not a threat. Pistons, and if you go 2-1 for these next three games, I'd take it.
I agree. I 100% agree. I posted that on our social media because I was curious if more people were thinking along the same thought process that I am, where, yes, the regular season is important, especially in the West at the top where you need to get position, but the Lakers have got off to such a great start that they can afford to rest LeBron. Like, the Lakers are 2.5 games up right now at the time of this recording over the Denver Nuggets, and they're 3 games above the Clippers, 4 games above Houston. They can afford to drop a couple of games. And yeah, we want to win every single game, but it should also, at the forefront of our mind, should be the long-term goal of this team. And that's to make a long postseason run or a deep postseason run. And you can't do that if LeBron's injured or AD is injured. Like, we've seen some of these, like, awkward falls that AD has, and you're just like, oh, gosh. Like,
oh, that game where the guy went under him, broke off or whatever, at the Mavs game, went under him. I was about to get so, like, my buddy Julius and I, Julius, who took me to the game, we were getting so mad. We're like, if this Brokoff guy, who no one's going to remember, ruins AD's career or ruins his year because he can't stand up and falls on the ground after a layup, and AD's getting the rebound, like, we are going to get so upset.
Yeah.
We'll definitely write him a nice letter. You know, we were like, that can't happen. That's crazy.
No, but those types of, like, freak incidents are going to happen whether a player's rested 5 games prior or not, but you just lessen the risk if you're willing to rest your players on games that aren't as meaningful, you know?
Right.
We're not trying to go after the best regular season record in NBA history. We're just trying to finish as a top seed in the West and make a deep run with a healthy Lakers roster. And LeBron, to your point, is regressing, and he's still phenomenal. Like, that should be said too, but you need to manage him like an older car. And
right.
You don't take your older car on cross-country road trips every summer anymore. You know, you... Mm-hmm. Are methodical, get those oil changes, get the tires rotated, maybe alternate cars if you have a spouse or a significant other with another car on trips. But I would definitely, if I was Vogel, I would strongly be urging, if not demanding, my stars to rest and to take nights off. And there are reasons that LeBron and AD can put on the official injury report. It's not like they have to, you know, even lie or make something up. Like, legitimately, LeBron is nursing a groin injury. AD, I forget what his was. Was it his
shoulder still bothering him? He had like ribs. That rib injury is something that's gonna, he has to work through. It's not gonna, it heals over time, you know?
Yeah. So there's a lot, but, yeah,
I also am questioning. Okay, so my second take, but before we get it, that last kind of like 20 seconds. So LeBron originally, I think, had Kawhi or PG on him, which was, okay, I understand, switch off. He switched off to Montrezl Harrell. And then he switched again to have Patrick Beverley. I don't understand why. Like, did not, if he was going to take the three, would you rather not have Montrezl Harrell guarding you and jumping up and taking a step back three than Patrick Beverley?
So he had an opportunity to shoot over Montrez instead.
Yeah. So he originally came down, PG picked him up. He forced the switch and had Harrell on him. And then he forced the switch again to switch on to Beverley.
Right.
Which, to me, that would make great sense if you're going to back him down and go for the two and try and get an and one.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Or go for the quick two.
Yeah.
But by the time you switched them, it was like 10 seconds left. So you already wasted 10, 12 seconds. And then you further, like, just wait around the 3-point area. Like, what? These are plays that I'm seeing that are like, I don't know how much longer we can continue that, to have that kind of game and to see that way. And like, that IQ, that was not smart at all. That was not a smart play at all.
No, it was very passive. And LeBron has moments like that where he is just passive. The moment gets very big and all eyes are on him to make a play, make something happen. And he either diverts in those moments where he kicks it out to someone who really shouldn't be the main option to take the shot, or he makes a passive offensive play, like a step back 3-pointer, rather than driving to the basket against a smaller and weaker defender. And that's always been my biggest gripe with LeBron, even when he wasn't on the Lakers, is
when he was on the Heat and when he was on the Cavs.
It just seems like sometimes he just shies away from the big moment. And
maybe that's why Kobe came to the Mavs game, gave him a little pep talk after, like, you're the guy now, you can't step down. I remember after that game, I texted you. I was like, I miss Kobe after that game because I was so upset, missing the free throws. Well, and did you see the stat line, his free throws percentage? He averaged 65%. And then the fourth quarter, it drops to 61%.
Wow. So a full 4%.
That's clutch gene absent.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Nor do I believe was it ever there. But that, like you said, is a gripe.
Yeah,
that's why his great teams, now that I think about it, the great teams that he won championships with, he was there closing, but who would be the closer? Kyrie or Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. Those teams where we saw big, or Ray Allen, yep, where we saw those big plays where they came back. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember LeBron? Yes, he was a big part, if not the huge, like, major part of why they won the championships with the Heat and with the Cavs. But those moments that you remember the most against the Warriors was who closed out the game, who hit those threes?
Kyrie.
When they were losing to the Mavs and the Spurs, who came back, who led them back, who hit those threes? Ray Allen, mm-hmm, D. Wade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And
does AD have that clutch gene then? Because we need it.
I hope so. And that's really a question mark, because AD's never had a significant playoff run in his career.
Right.
I think he's made it to the second round once.
Yeah, they beat some team.
When they upset the Blazers. Yeah. Was it the Blazers?
I think so. Or did the Blazers upset them?
Oh, maybe it was the other way around. I forget. But I think he's made it to
the second round. The second round. Sure. But then they got decimated.
Yeah.
By the Nuggets, I believe.
But that's the point being, that remains to be seen whether or not AD does have that clutch gene and whether or not he embraces the big moment when we need a big bucket with 30 seconds left. Is he going to settle for a mid-range jumper, which can be fine? Or is he going to be aggressive and try and get to the paint, but just not shy away from the moment? And I hope that that's the case, that he rises up, because LeBron doesn't seem to want that to be the case. And to LeBron's defense, he's never wanted to be a premier scorer. He's a pass first player, and he always has been. But it doesn't really matter what you want if you are the size and have the athleticism and IQ that LeBron James has.
Oh, it does matter. If you're going to call yourself the greatest of all time, then it matters.
That's a good point.
And he's called himself the greatest of all time.
That's a good point. Great point.
That was not a greatest of all time play.
No.
At all. Not even close. But my second point from this Christmas game and these last three games that I've taken, mm-hmm, is it time for Rondo to retire? Because I'm not seeing what he does at all for this team, other than randomly score 15 points because he can start hitting threes.
Yeah.
Or he plays against a really, really, really bad second unit point, mm-hmm, guard. But like, he, against the better teams, against Milwaukee, against Denver, against Dallas, he has not been playing well. And he's made so many turnovers.
Yeah. In the last three games, he scored 4 points against Dallas. He had 15 against Portland and 7 in the big game against the Clippers. And the argument that most people will raise for Rondo in his defense is his playmaking ability. But even that has been
so-so.
Just so-so. Like, yeah, nothing is jumping out consistently saying that he's making the team better on a night-in, night-out basis and deserves to be out there. Again, the last three games, 4 assists, 4 assists, 5 assists. I mean, you can get that level of production from ball distribution from an Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Rondo's a name. Like, people know him. He's won championships. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Which I love. But to me, I think you play him just like a Jared Dudley. That's why Jared Dudley, you know? Great, yeah, teammate, great player, knowledgeable. Almost like another coach, but I don't think he deserves the minutes that he's getting. And he's not as fast anymore. And his passes aren't as quick and aren't as precise. And I will definitely give that to age. That's what happens, you know?
Yeah, he's 33. He's been in the league for 13 years. And for most players, that's kind of where you're starting to...
No, that's still a great career. Yeah, I think most players, like 4 or 5 years, like the average, yeah, NBA player.
Yeah. Yeah, Rondo's been a great player in this league, but for you to bring up the question, is it time for him to retire? He's getting close. I think he's still valuable, and by valuable, I'm not saying that he's like a necessity to have on your team, but he does bring value. As long as what you're expecting of him isn't higher than what he's actually capable of. And I think in the beginning of the season, Vogel was leaning on him heavily to kind of be the main anchor for our offense.
For that second unit, especially.
Yeah. And recently, he's had a stretch where he just hasn't been performing, and I think his minutes are starting to go down a little bit.
I think so too. Now that Kuzma's healthy, I think he's eating in some of Rondo's minutes, because they're like, when LeBron and AD are out, it's going to be all through Kuzma.
Yeah. Rondo played 18 against the Mavs, 18 versus Portland, and then on the Christmas game, he played, where is it at? 20. So he's right in that 18 to 20 minute range. But I would much rather see Alex Caruso out there. Mm-hmm. I really would. In the Christmas Day game, Rondo played twice the number of minutes that Caruso did. Caruso got 10 minutes on the court.
Which I don't understand why. No. What did Rondo provide on that game? 7 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal,
mm-hmm.
3 fouls. What was his plus minus?
-4.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Glad he was on the court.
Yeah. So, I don't know. All of this can really be encompassed and summarized to say the Lakers supporting cast has work to do. And we need to be consistent with the production. We have personnel available that can give us valuable minutes. But I think Vogel needs to have tough conversations and be willing to be the bad guy in the locker room for a stretch by putting his foot down and saying, no, you know, Rondo, you're not going to be getting as many minutes as you've been accustomed to recently. Caruso's going to start to get more playing time, or maybe Kuz starts to get less playing time. We don't really have a lot of options there, to be honest, but, I don't know.
I take my chances with Michael Beasley 2.0 over Rondo right now.
Yes.
Because he can suddenly get hot.
Yeah.
So I question, I mean, I know he's out there right now for shooting, and he's hit or miss, but it's like, do you put in Bradley and AC to start instead of Bradley and Danny Green? Now that's a defensive lineup.
Yeah. Man, yeah. I would consider it. I would consider it. Caruso's very valuable. Very, very valuable.
Oh, he gets, Alex Caruso gets, after LeBron and AD, gets the loudest clap in Staples Center. Like, when he checked in, people went crazy. When he was shooting free throws, people were screaming MVP, myself included. An MVP chant started for him.
Yeah.
Everyone sees how much he hustles and, like, how much he affects the game without it being on the box score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an undrafted second-year player, right? This is the second year?
Third year.
So he's played 2 full seasons. This is third year in the league. You can't not root for the guy.
Right.
White guy, looks completely out of place on the floor, balding.
Yeah, has a stash.
And his stats don't go crazy for his stats either, but just the eye test when you're watching him play, the energy, the hustle that he brings, it's hard not to root for him. But even as someone who has more of an understanding of the game, you appreciate what he brings because you see value in what he's doing. He makes the team better when he's out there. And that can't always be said for Rondo, which is why I'm going to keep vouching for AC to be taking his minutes, because he's just frankly the better player. So we'll see if Vogel listens to that, but we do have pieces that our supporting cast can help boost our performance. It's just a matter of finding which combination of those pieces work the best.
Agreed. The team is healthy now. That's the least we can ask for, the most we can ask for. And let's see kind of where it goes from now. Let's see if they really can transform and take it to another level. But enough of these Lakers. Why don't we, with the new decade coming in, the 20s coming in, let's look at the recap of the Lakers of this past decade.
Let's do it.
So looking back at the Lakers this past decade, we started out the decade with a championship against the much-hated Celtics.
Heck yeah.
In a revenge finals match that went to Game 7 with the great Metta World Peace hitting a three to seal the game.
Love
and
that
the
guy.
Amazing machine, Saša Vujačić, further icing the game with some free throws through the desert, the Mojave Desert. No thirst, lacking any water, not being wet at all from any three-point, two-point, any shot, just being terrible.
Zero moisture.
Yeah, we were just dry. Dry as could be. As the Laker kingdom was concerned,
yep.
To now being rejuvenated with the two great lakes, hopefully future great lakes, AD and LeBron James.
Yeah.
To hopefully ending this decade with another championship.
It's been a long Lakers journey through this decade. Like you said, starting out on top in the 09-10 season.
Coming off from a back-to-back championship, too. It wasn't
right.
Just a like regular championship, back-to-back.
Right. And beating the Celtics, as you mentioned, was the cherry on top. I think you and I were talking earlier, and I mentioned to you, can you imagine what the narrative on Kobe's legacy and the Lakers franchise, how much different it would be if we had lost that series?
It would be a sad, much sadder one, much more quieter one.
Yes, much more tears. And the Boston fan base would be talking so much crap, even to this day when we would enter games against them or series. It would just be like these little comments like on Reddit or just talking to a friend or something like, oh yeah, but look who won the last two series in the finals. Like if we meet again, it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
But thankfully we were able to avenge our last finals loss in 08 and beat them in the 2010 championship series. But yeah, so we start this decade with a championship. And then begins the roller coaster ride, man. I think our worst season was the 2015-2016 season, where we finished 17-65.
17-65. I don't even want to. 17 wins.
20% of our games. That's one game every five games that we play.
That was a sad, sad
day. Terrible, terrible, terrible. All right, without looking... Don't look at the screen right now. We had six head coaches in this decade. Try and name all six of them if you can.
Oh, I got this.
All right. Go ahead.
Phil Jackson to start out the decade.
Correct.
Right, to win. Then we switched and we had Mike Brown.
Nice.
And then we switched again to Mike D'Antoni.
Good job.
Like Mike D'Antoni, just because he was the coach for Steve Nash.
Right.
I still am so upset about that.
Yep.
Then after that, after D'Antoni, to finish off Kobe's career, we had Byron Scott.
Yep.
And after Byron, who do we have in between? So we had Frank now.
Correct.
And so that's
five. You're missing one.
Who did we have? Oh, number four. The fourth Walton brother, Luke Walton.
That's it, Luke Walton.
Yeah.
So six head coaches over the course of these last 10 years.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
The longest tenured coach for this decade was Luke Walton. And his regular season record, each of those seasons were, I'll know the combined, but he went 26 and 56 his first year, 35-47 his second, and then 37-45 his third. So there wasn't a season in there where he finished above 500. Obviously, those rosters sucked. So
terrible.
I don't think any head coach would really be able to salvage that.
We had to start Robert Sacre at some time. Yes. Chris came in. Oh, man. Xavier Henry, do you remember him?
I do. I remember he had a really good dunk on like the opener one night.
Right. He had like a really good second half of the season, and we were excited to see him come for this next year, and then he got injured, and then he just was disappeared after. Chris came in laying down.
I was gonna say this was probably one of my most favorite moments of the decade when we were struggling. Was I think it was in 2014 that the Lakers, because they only had eight healthy players, when I think we had a couple of players foul out or something like that.
Yeah.
What were we forced to play with?
Eight. We were forced to play under the minimum, and we had to take free throws. We got technical foul. I think we played finished the game with four players.
And as a result of that weird sequence, you get the iconic image of Chris Kaman lying flat on his back on the bench. the end of the third quarter. It wasn't even like 20 seconds left in the fourth. It was 2 minutes left in the third. Lakers are getting blown out, and this guy's napping on the bench. Not even looking towards the court. Just looking just straight up. Probably with his eyes closed.
Talking to Judy Seto, looks like.
Yeah. So we've had some ups and downs. But thankfully, this season, it looks like we're at least going to round into the new decade into 2020 with serious playoff aspirations and being one of the top teams in the league. And we're finishing 2019 as the top team in the Western Conference, which is a heck of a long way from where we've come through a lot of the valleys in this decade.
From 17-65, definitely.
So it's been a long time coming. Anything else you want to touch on about this decade?
I'm ready to leave it behind in the dust. Other than the championship to start, the back-to-back championships, and Kobe's last game.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. Let's look forward to this next decade, this next dominating decade of Laker basketball.
Yeah, I hear you on that, and I hope that is the case as well. All right. With that, do you want to do a little ranking game?
Yeah, let's do a little. You want to go in first these next three games and continue our record? We need to update everyone on that record, by the way. We will next week.
That's true.
It's been a bit crazy.
I have an idea for you, and let me know what you think.
Okay.
Rather than we'll start this beginning with today's podcast, but rather than keeping a cumulative score that just continues to tally, why don't we just section off by month? So like for the month of January, we'll keep a record.
I like that.
We can keep a side tally too for like the cumulative, but there's another.
It's so much easier though to keep track by month. Like once the month is behind, we can just type it up and leave into our Google Sheet. You know?
Right. So let's try doing that. And the Lakers' first or next game is on January 1st. So that's perfect for our predictions for today. So let's go ahead and take a look ahead, since we're going to be starting at 0-0 with our predictions going forward for 2020.
What does the winner of each month get?
We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Anything off the top of your head, or should we brainstorm later?
Brainstorm later, boogie bet something.
All right, down.
Like think of something every month at the beginning, our first podcast, and boogie bet on it.
That's a good idea. I like
Chick-fil-A sandwich or Popeye sandwich now. Have you had that yet?
I still have not had
it. Oh, my goodness, dude. I just had one on Sunday. It was so good.
Does it really live up to that
hype,
though?
I love it because, so when you think of fried chicken, right, a fried chicken sandwich is a fried chicken sandwich or a fried chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A crunchy to you?
No.
Right. It's good, but it's just a chicken sandwich.
It's true. So I never
thought about
that.
Fried chicken sandwich from Popeye's is a fried chicken. Like you get the crunch, the nice bite, like the texture comes through.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Interesting. Yeah, I need to try that. That's on my New Year's resolutions for the year. Try Popeye's chicken sandwich. Hopefully it happens and they're not always out of stock. Because I have tried to go, I think, two different times now. And each time I've gone, they've been sold out.
You just have to go with me, dude.
I guess so.
Yeah. Just like Laker games. Always in stock. Kobe's always there.
Kobe's in stock. Popeye's is in stock. Yeah. Man, you just make dreams come true. All right, man. So upcoming games for the Lakers. We have the Suns, Pelicans, and the Pistons. What is your prediction for these three games?
3-0. I've said 3-0 for like the third time.
Yeah, you have.
And I have not been 3-0 this third time. But against this team, if we are as good as we think we are, we should go 3-0 against these teams.
Yeah. I'm going to say we go 2-1 and lose to the Pelicans.
So the Pels, you think they get up?
Yeah, I think they do. They've been playing better recently.
We almost lost them that game. AD came back.
Yeah, and that was a really emotional game. And so I think that they like got up and played at a level that they hadn't played at all season.
Yeah.
But they've actually been playing a lot better.
Won't Lonzo be back for this game too?
Yeah, Lonzo is actually back, has been back.
For a while now.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying from the last matchup. That's what I meant, sorry.
Oh, yes. Because
he wasn't there that last game.
You're right, he wasn't.
Right. So he'll be there this time. And I'm curious to see how that'll affect the team.
And B.I., Ingram, I think, just recently got Player of the Week.
Oh, he's been
playing really well, man.
The Suns team, too. I mean, we should go 3-0 if we're a good team. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say that these games aren't going to be competitive and close.
Yeah.
The Suns team is good as well. They give everyone a hard time. And they're well coached. Yeah. And they win games they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Kelly Oubre is having a year to remember. Devin Booker is killing it now that he doesn't have to have point guard duties and bring the ball down every time.
Right.
Has Ricky Rubio to help him and spread the ball. And Ricky's being Ricky. What he loves to do, spread the ball around. Not be the guy that always has to take the shots. So every once in a while, take a layup or a mid-range, but he loves passing the ball and moving the ball around and getting everyone involved.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. The Suns, these next few years, if they continue to improve with Ayton, oh, man. Wow. They should be a team to watch. They should bring back they're going to bring back the old Suns basketball.
I hope so. Yeah. And it's worth pointing out that the Lakers are in the middle of a 5 game homestand.
Mm-hmm.
So these next three games are all going to be played at home. There's no back-to-backs. Phoenix on Wednesday, New Orleans Friday, and then Detroit on Sunday. So yeah, I mean, these are all very winnable games. I think it's very possible we go 3-0. But for the sake of predictions, I'm going to say we go 2-1. I just have a hunch that that Friday game, both Lonzo and B.I. are going to have really good games.
Hmm.
And Josh Hart. It's going to be a little bit of a former Lakers revenge game against the current squad. But we'll see how it plays out. All right. With that said, let's go ahead and transition into, I think I said ranking earlier, but we're going to do a 0.4 segment, mm-hmm. and looking forward to this upcoming decade and making predictions on top team, player, MVP, et cetera, what we foresee coming to play in the 20s. So yeah. Let's talk about
it. The 20s. Oh, my goodness. The 20s. No. We can't be entering the 20s. Oh, we're so old, dude.
We are.
All right. So 0.4. So now we are making predictions, like Rajai just said, for who will be player of the decade for the 20s. We have team. We have MVP. What else do we have? We have coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have coach. We have coach. And then we also have defensive player of the year, I would like to say, right?
Okay, yeah.
Was there anything else you wanted to add on there before we jump in?
No, I think that's good. Yeah, let's talk about it. So let's start with team, kind of one of the big ones. Who do we foresee being the team of the decade? Looking back on this most recent decade, it was mainly defined by the Warriors, I think, is at least for the later part of the decade.
That's tough for me. I would say the team is, it's tough. I would say the Warriors because of their 5 straight finals appearances. And I don't think a team has done that consistently in a while.
Yeah.
Even in the beginning, it was the Lakers. There was Dallas for a couple years. The Spurs went like 3 times out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the next team would be the Spurs, but the Warriors have just changed the game and changed basketball so much that they are definitely the team of this decade.
Yeah, for sure. For this Are we wanting to predict going forward, or are we just looking back on?
No, let's predict going forward. Okay. That's way more fun.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, the team going forward is.
Wait, we're both gonna say ours at the same time.
Oh yeah. Do you have yours?
Gonna talk. I do have mine.
Shoot. Okay. I will pick mine. Okay, I got it.
Man, now you're making me double check mine.
It's supposed to be 0.4, so I did kind of cheat and
okay,
installing.
I'm
but
I'm good. Let's go.
All right, 1, 2, 3, Mavericks.
Bucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go. Give your reasoning for the Bucks, and I'll give you mine for the Mavericks.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's like 24, 25.
Yeah.
This guy's a beast, and mm-hmm. then you reach your peak until you're like 32. That means he has like 7 years. He's already going to, like, to me, this year alone, he's MVP because he's hitting threes now.
Yeah.
Like, this guy legitimately is becoming better every single year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see another player that's, like, at his pace getting better, has his athletic prowess. He passes so well. Like, you can't do anything to stop him.
But do you think he stays in Milwaukee for long enough for him to be to make the Bucks the team of this upcoming decade?
Okay, maybe I jumped the gun. I mean, my heart wants to say Lakers.
Sure,
but I don't think he stays. Okay. You're right. I don't think he stays. It's too small of a market. Like, he is the Greek freak. He will go to New York or something. You know,
he has the mentality and the mindset where I wouldn't be surprised if he stays, because right. he's the type of player that just plays angry, plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he just cares about winning, and that's
right.
it.
Right. And Milwaukee will give that to him, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if he goes to a big star set, he won't have that kind of chip on his shoulder anymore. Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he stays.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to imagine it happening.
Right.
Like, I don't know if we've seen a player of his caliber remain in a quote-unquote small market like Milwaukee mm-hmm. when he has the opportunity to go into one of the big markets like an L.A.,
New York, Chicago. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. But, okay, so you'll pick Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'll pick the Bucks.
I picked Dallas, the Mavericks, because they obviously found their cornerstone piece in Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he can easily be built around, because he's such a well-rounded player with his passing, his playmaking ability, and his scoring. He's not one-sided, so you can put pieces around him and they fit almost seamlessly. And that's not the case for all superstar players. And I think that Dallas is the type of market that can still attract star players without.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you're not
they're
going
big
to
enough
like,
mm-hmm. to attract star players without having the small market feel. But still have all the positives of smart market feel. Very loyal fan base. Like, everywhere he goes, he'll probably get to eat for free. Everyone loves them.
Yeah.
That's what everyone loves about a small market. But then you don't get paid as much.
Mm-hmm.
But your advertising won't be as big. But in Dallas, it's a huge hub.
Yeah.
So your brand will still be able to spread all across Texas, all throughout the Midwest, you know?
And get those tax breaks, too.
Yeah.
You get to keep more of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And the other key piece for me in choosing the Mavericks is their ownership.
Mark Cuban,
who
is so good.
He's willing to do anything and everything that it takes to make sure that they remain relevant.
He loves the Mavs.
Yeah. So, you know, put me down for the Mavericks. And, you know, I mean, you pair another star player with Luka and Porzingis, if Porzingis starts to round into a more efficient player on the Mavericks, then you have a legit contender this season. I mean, they're already pushing contenders like the Lakers and other teams, you know, into some really, really good games. The Lakers have dropped a game already to them.
Yeah.
The Mavericks beat us handily at Staples Center. So we'll see. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Oh, man. I kind of regret mine.
Do you want to change it?
Yeah, I'm going to change it to the Suns.
Really?
Yeah.
The Suns.
It was between the Suns and the Heat because they both draft very well, I feel like, for young talent, because they continuously have, like, higher picks, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard.
Yeah. The Suns more than the Heat. The Heat are contending sometimes.
But I love Alvin Gentry as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
and he's their son's coach right now, right?
No, Monty Williams.
Sorry, Monty Williams is a coach. Mm-hmm. Love that guy. He was great. He's what made the Pels so good. Remember those Pels with CP3?
Yeah.
David West.
The Hornets.
Omeka Okafor.
That was when they were the Hornets, right?
Yeah, Okafor was like a freaking all-star because of the way they played. Mm-hmm. James Posey.
Yeah.
They had a solid team. I see Devin Booker is still like 23.
He's young.
22.
Yeah,
he's so young.
Early 20s. Mm-hmm.
Kelly Oubre, mm-hmm. Ricky Rubio, DeAndre Ayton. Like, they have so much young talent that I feel they can, and we see them already. Like, to me, they were Dallas. They're like in the stages Dallas was a couple, like last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When they, or last year, when they had Luka and they're starting, wow, every once in a while they won a game they shouldn't have won because Luka just went off. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that right now with the Suns. They're winning a game every once in a while, a game that they shouldn't have won because of Booker, Oubre, and Ricky Rubio, Ayton. Mm-hmm. They just have so much young talent.
Yeah.
And I love their coach.
Yeah. Well coached for sure. My concern with them would be their management, like their ownership. I think
they get impatient.
Yeah. But we'll see. They have the talent. They definitely do. And they have a heck of a coach that's there already. And they're already performing higher or exceeding expectations. So that's a good sign going to the next decade. All right, moving from team, let's talk and make predictions about who the player of this upcoming decade is going to be.
This one I think we're going to agree on.
Okay, let me think about it for a quick second. Okay, I got it.
1, 2, 3, Giannis. Luka Doncic. Really? We flopped.
We did, wow.
We flip-flopped. Giannis will be amazing, and I think he'll be great for the beginning. The first 5 years, but if you're talking about the next 5 years, 2025, when we're like 35 plus, gross, when we're about to be 40, it's definitely got to be Luka. I think from 2025 on, like, he's just gonna be LeBron, you know, but can shoot a lot more consistently.
Yeah,
scary.
Wow, Luka's only 20 years old.
Dude, he came in when he was 18, man. He's already balling in the Spanish league at, like, teenagers at, like, 16. And won MVP.
And Giannis is 25. Yeah. So Luka's 5 years younger.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both young, don't get me wrong.
I mean, still, Giannis at till 33 can dominate this next decade, and that's 8 years of this next decade. That's a lot.
Right.
You know? But, like you said, I think people are going to figure him out. People are going to play him well. He can shoot well, but he doesn't affect the game like Luka does. He does affect that, has just as big of impact, but in a different way.
Yeah. My reasoning behind Giannis is he has the mentality to go with his talent to.
Oh, for sure. He has that Mamba mentality.
Right.
I respect that.
To take him to heights in his game that a lot of other players wouldn't be able to reach, even if they did have his talent. And so I think his best years are ahead of him, which is crazy to say. But we'll see. So give me Giannis for best player of this upcoming decade. And you went with the Donk, Luka Doncic. All right. So having decided our team and players of the 20s, let's talk about coach. Who do we see as maybe an up-and-coming coach of the 20s or an already successful coach who we think will continue his dominance going into this upcoming decade? This one's tough. Just because some of the great coaches that we've become accustomed to succeeding may not be there in the future. I think about Greg Popovich. Who's to say he's going to be coaching even next year or the year after that? So he's probably off the board for sure. For me, man,
I'm still deciding. I can't think of one.
Yeah. It's hard to just think of coaches off the top of your head, too.
I got one.
Okay, go ahead. So you can buy me time. No, I'm just kidding. Don't say it because we have to say it at the same time. Dang it. All right.
You want me to look up a list of NBA coaches?
Yeah, sure. Can you read some off? This is what happens when we don't do our homework before the
Greg
pod.
Popovich, Greg Grogue, Greg Pop, Rivers, Rick Carlisle, Steve Kerr, Mike D'Antoni, Eric Spoelstra, Alvin Gentry, Mike Boldenhauser, Scott Brooks, Dwayne Casey, Nate McMillan, Frank Vogel, Phil Jackson, Terry Stotts, Brad Stevens, Brett Brown, George Karl. Oh, he's passed away, hasn't he? Steve Clifford, Michael Malone, Luke Walton, Quinn Snyder, Thibs, Monty Williams, Nick Nurse.
Okay. And you don't hear Nick Nurse's name all that much anymore.
Jason Kidd, Tyronn Lue, David Fizdale.
Okay, I got mine.
You got yours?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like it's not going to be all that surprising either.
Really? 1, 2, 3.
Rick Carlisle.
I think mine is Nick Nurse.
Yeah. I almost went with Nurse.
I thought you went. We're gonna go with Nurse too. He's just changed. Like Toronto's still very good. Mm-hmm. They're such a good team, even without Kawhi right now. To me, it was between Nick Nurse and I was dreading saying it, and Brad Stevens.
Yeah,
because they're both young. Mm-hmm. They both like the young guys love them and love playing their style of basketball. They are both such like defensive minded coaches. Do mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And defense wins championships, but they're also very adaptable, mm-hmm. work well with egos, you know, like even Kyrie never like he crapped on his teammates, but he never crapped on Brad Stevens, you know?
Right.
And Kawhi loved Nick Nurse. They met load managed him and they won a championship because of it. Those guys, they're the future, you know? I definitely see them as the next kind of like Phil, Pat Riley, like those guys are going to be great. And I know, maybe Frank will be there. Maybe we'll see it one day, but
hopefully.
You know, he's only like 40 or something. He's still really young.
Yeah, definitely. With Vogel, he just doesn't strike me as like a trend-setting coach where, you know, he's like going to define a team by the style of his coaching, per se. Okay. For me, I'm going to go with, I chose Rick Carlisle. For similar reasons that I mentioned earlier with Doncic, and I believe that the Mavericks can be the team of this upcoming decade if they're able to land an additional key piece to their team. And Rick Carlisle is just frankly a heck of a coach. And I think he gets overlooked a lot of the time because his teams haven't been very relevant the past several seasons. But that's already changing. For one, this season, you don't have to look any further than what they've done this season. The Mavericks are in the top five in the West, and they're competing at a very high level. But if they are able to land an additional piece, Luka Doncic remains healthy, continues to get better, and they have some good role players around them, they're going to be competing for championships, and Rick Carlisle is going to be brought back into the spotlight, and people are going to recognize just how good of a coach that he is. And he has, for me, I see Rick Carlisle in a similar light that I see Greg Popovich in. And obviously he hasn't achieved the same amount of success, not even close, but just that intensity and the attention to detail and no-nonsense type of approach to coaching, I think that he's that good and capable of going on a run in this upcoming decade of having winning teams, to where he's going to propel himself into the conversation for one of the best coaches to ever do it. I think he's that good.
To me already, he is probably top 10 that I've ever seen in my life. He's mm-hmm. great. He's won a championship against a team that had three Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
That is incredible. I mean, he had Jason Kidd on the end. He is, so to me, that speaks like so many words. Like, he's able to push an older vet that's in his ways, change his game. Jason Kidd hit threes, remember? He started to hit threes. Yeah. Wow. Became a decent three-point shooter. push Dirk, who was like maybe had four more years in his prime, and make these role players play well around them. Mm-hmm. It was incredible to watch. And I could see why you'd pick him for the next player of the decade. But he is 60. So who knows how long he'll be around.
He is. How old's Pop, though? I'm curious. I know he's nearing the very end of his career. But I'm curious.
Still a brilliant coach.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm just curious, like, how long he's been.
He's 70.
70.
So he's about done.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, Rick can stick around for another 10 years. We'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. All right.
I think that's it.
That's it? Yep. Yeah, cool. You're right. That is it. All right, so that will do it for this episode of the Three in the Key podcast.
Last episode of the year, last episode of the decade. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts, Raichai and I, even though I think like half the listens are from Raichai and I. So we appreciate ourselves. Just kidding. We appreciate everyone that takes time out of their day to listen to us rant, talk. It means a lot to us. This started out as a passion project to us, and it will continue to be one of the passions we have in life. And for you to take some time to just listen to us rant, listen to us laugh, and do life with us, it really means a lot.
Absolutely. So here's to an awesome 2020 and an awesome decade. Take care, guys, and go Lakers.
Go Lakers.